I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
100 years, 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice!
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it like a basketball player.
College football turns 150 with new national powers emerging.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
And superstars dominating Saturdays like never before.
Joe Burrow, shotgun snap, launches way down the field, chase, touchdown, Tigers!
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Happy Championship Sunday to you. The early game is Chiefs and Titans. The late game is the Niners and the Packers. We'll preview it all coming up this hour in the final hour of Sunday Morning Football. Also, Larry Hartstein is going to join us from Sportsline, this morning's Vegas virtuoso. I'll also give you some look-ahead lines for the four potential matchups in the Super Bowl. We'll also hear from Tony Baselli on being a finalist for the Hall of Fame, but not making it in. Solomon Wilcots will weigh in on the criticism of Andy Reid being too conservative in play calling in big spots. And Cam Newton's future in Carolina is up in question this offseason. Will he be back as a Panther? That's all coming up this hour here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. And these two matchups could be dandies today. The early one, the Chiefs and the Titans, as the Titans have strangled to death in their power ground attack at Derrick Henry, both the Patriots and the Ravens. And then in the late game, Aaron Rodgers has another shot at a second Super Bowl. He has lost the previous incarnations of the Packers in this game, the NFC Championship game. After he won a Super Bowl back in 2010, he has not been back to one. Could today be the day? Or are the Niners poised to go back to the big game? We begin this hour by coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
Over. The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
I'm not sure what Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark is thinking when he says it's not that hard to bring down Derrick Henry. Is he doing this to help rally his troops? Is he doing this to make it seem as though Derrick Henry is mortal because he's played immortal over the last 3 weeks? Or is this just one guy putting his foot in his mouth? But Frank Clark told the NFL Network on Friday, quote, he's not that hard to hit. He's just a big guy. Honestly, he should be running harder at his weight and at his size. I don't see no difficulty in tackling him. He's just easy to me up front because I don't look at any running back like they can't be tackled. He's not one of the best guys at breaking tackles to me, honestly. Oh, boy. Can the Titans win on the back of Derrick Henry yet again?
Mariota. Now he goes in motion. Direct snap, Derrick Henry throws it. Jump pass in the end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Henry to Corey Davis. Oh, my goodness, that play is from the 1800s.
We're going to do the same thing this week. We're going to continue to improve, not let complacency sit in, and not be excited about, you know, winning whatever this was, I don't even know. We're going to play in the AFC Championship game. But we have to continue to improve. And you heard me say it, the teams that do that, they keep playing.
Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans on Titans Radio on your call. That's the Derrick Henry jump pass for the touchdown. And that was head coach Mike Vrabel. I think it's a mistake for Frank Clark to act as though no big deal bringing down Derrick Henry because you are poised to look stupid. There's going to be a point in time where he throws his shoulder into you or stiff arms you, and then that's going to be replayed on loop forever. You know this. But here's the thing. The Titans can't win one-dimensionally because while the Patriots' offense was severely limited this year, and once the Ravens got out of their comfort zone, it was very difficult for Lamar Jackson to click back into that rhythm. Patrick Mahomes is a different beast. I mean, Mahomes could have won the AFC Championship game last year. Mahomes was the MVP last season. This year, once he's been healthy, he's looked great. Last week, down 24-0, he was scintillating. So, expecting the Titans to win today's game with less than 100 yards passing by Ryan Tannehill to me is unrealistic. They not only need a huge game from Derrick Henry, which seems probable, but they also need a better effort than putting up 14 or even 20 or 21 points. I find it hard to believe that this Chiefs offense is going to be held under 21. Now, maybe it'll take a great effort and the Chiefs offense and the play calling will be out of sorts. You know what? We've seen it happen with Andy Reid. But with Mahomes under center, I think it's going to take more than the 14 to 17 points or so that you know the Titans can put up if they bleed clock and run the football a lot. I think they're going to have to do more. So, no, I don't believe they can win one-dimensionally. I do think they can win, though. And that would just mean that Tannehill needs to have a couple of big throws, and he's certainly capable of that. If I was Frank Clark, though, I wouldn't taunt the beast because what we're seeing from Derrick Henry is unlike anything that maybe we've ever seen. You might have to go back to, like, 64 and Jim Brown to have one elite, powerful running back that simply can't be brought down, essentially forcing his team into a Super Bowl. I mean, in today's passing league, it's one thing to have a red-hot quarterback that can't be slowed down or an offense that can't be slowed down. When was the last time we had one running back that you said, because of him, his team's going to the Super Bowl? Because of him, he's unstoppable, and everybody knows that he's getting the football. When was the last time we've ever said that about one guy at running back, when obviously the defense can stack the box and throw waves of defenders at you? In the NFC Championship game, the 49ers waxed the Packers the first time around in Week 12, 37-8. And right now, you could make the argument they're the most complete team out of the four teams left.
Seven straight 49er runs. They're going to give it to Coleman on the shotgun run for an eighth consecutive run. Touchdown! San Francisco!
We had one drive where we literally didn't pass the ball, came off to the sideline, and I mean, it was as excited as we've ever been offensively. And it was just, when you can do that to a team, it makes it tough on defenses when they have to, you know, bring more guys into the box, start bringing safeties down. We ran the hell out of the ball, and those guys up front battled their ass off today. It was fun.
That was the voice of the Niners on the game call on Niners Radio, Greg Papa, and that was Jimmy Garoppolo after the win over the Minnesota Vikings. This Niners team is so dangerous because they don't need great efforts out of the quarterback, but the quarterback has shown the ability to have great efforts. They don't need a great day defensively, but they oftentimes get the great day defensively. They don't need to do any one thing because they've proven to win multiple ways. I mean, to win in a shootout at the Superdome against the Saints was one way. To win grinded out defensive affairs is another way. To get after the passer the way that they do, to have the depth that they do at so many positions, to have a quarterback that can be able to move the football well through the air, to have that many really good running backs just shows that John Lynch has built an impeccable roster, and Kyle Shanahan is an incredible coach already. He's a great play caller, not a good one, a great one. And combined with Robert Saleh, his defensive coordinator, they might be the best coached team left in the postseason. So this Niners team has all the ingredients right now to win a Super Bowl. And I think it's because they don't have just one way to beat you. They can beat you multiple ways. And the Niners, this build back from the dark days of Chip Kelly and Jim Tomsula, is pretty amazing that in four seasons, essentially, they went from laughingstocks and the dregs of the NFL to maybe the best roster top to bottom in the NFL, certainly one of them. And I think the Chiefs certainly can be in that argument as well, that they're a complete team. But the Chiefs' defense early in the season worried me. They got better as the season went along. They benefited, I think, from Mahomes being out via injury. But there's still question marks about that Chiefs' defense. And I think top to bottom, that Niners roster and team feels like, coaching-wise as well, to be the most complete left in the playoffs. And finally, Joe Burrow's the presumed number one pick in the NFL draft. He's from Athens, Ohio, Southeast Ohio. Cincinnati, the Bengals have the number one pick. That's in Southwest Ohio, just a couple of hours' drive. But there's been some idea that maybe Joe Burrow would resist playing for the Bengals if the Bengals drafted him number one. Well, his dad was on a Montreal radio station over the weekend and said that should not be a concern.
Yes, we've talked about it. I mean, I could be in my seat in 3.5 hours from Athens. You know, that's certainly a positive. The top pick or one of the top picks, you know, that's the way the NFL draft is set up. You're not gonna get picked by a team that has a great record. You know, he's excited to even be in that conversation, and if the Bengals do draft him, he's gonna be happy and you know, he'll look at it as a challenge, but he'll be confident that eventually they can win a lot of games there at Cincinnati.
That was Jim Burrow, Joe Burrow's dad, on TSN 690 radio in Montreal. You might be asking yourself, well, why is Jim Burrow doing Montreal sports talk? Well, did you know that Jim Burrow, Joe's dad, was a top standout defensive back for the Montreal Alouettes? Yes, he played football in Montreal in the Canadian Football League. I wonder how this thing will unfold. If you're the Bengals, you absolutely have to take Joe Burrow. I think it's a no-brainer to take him. I think he's going to be very good in the NFL. But I will say that, you know, the Bengals have proven to be a problematic franchise for top draft picks to go to. Carson Palmer went there, and the same thing. He was the savior. He was going to come in and change things. And well, part of it was the knee injury suffered in the playoffs, but Palmer was never able to elevate the Bengals into a championship team, and a lot of that has to do with the ownership there, the unwillingness to spend, and kind of this acceptance of mediocrity. Can Burrow go there and change that culture, change that dynamic, and the franchise get behind him, an ownership who has been stingy throughout the years, actually going out and being aggressive to build a winning program? I mean, they've hired Zach Taylor, and he seemed totally in over his head for so much of the season this year. We'll see if Burrow does indeed say, yeah, I'm going to try to change things here, because it feels like such a natural fit being an Ohio kid a couple of hours away being drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. Drop from heaven for the Bengals. And that is your coming in hot segment. When we come back here on the show, our sports line Vegas virtuoso Larry Hartstein's going to join us on the show, and I'll also give you the look ahead line to the four potential Super Bowl matchups set by Vegas already. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
Today on CBS, it's the AFC Championship featuring a matchup of two contrasting styles as Derrick Henry and the Titans head to Kansas City to face Mahomes and that seemingly unstoppable Chiefs offense. With the winner heading to Super Bowl 54, it all begins with a special two-hour edition of the NFL Today, beginning at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, only on CBS. And then the late game, the Packers and Niners, on Fox. Welcome into our CBS Sports Radio Sunday Morning Football edition of Championship Sunday. And we're joined by our friend Larry Hartstein from Sportsline, who's had an amazing season thus far, going a red-hot 56-38 against the spread this season. Good morning, Larry. How you doing?
Great, DA. How about you?
I'm doing well. Let's look at this early game here and the Titans and the Chiefs. What did the line open up as, and did we see any movement over the course of this week?
Yeah, there's been money coming in on the Titans down to 7, which is crazy when you think when Kansas City went to Tennessee in Week 10, they were laying 6. So now the game is in Kansas City. You got a team on a 7-game win streak, and they're only laying 7. That tells you how amazing this playoff run has been for Derrick Henry and the Titans.
Have we seen the money on the Titans come in from the general public or the sharps as well?
You know, I think it's one of those pretty split games. I think it's going to hold at 7. I don't think I was hoping to get 7.5 with Tennessee. I think that's gone. There's very few books that are still dealing 7.5. And what's crazy is the real action has been on the props. Derrick Henry, 102 rushing yards, is up to 113.5 already.
And that feels very doable for Derrick Henry after 3 consecutive games of 180 yards or more on the ground. How much does Derrick Henry's success over the last couple of weeks, especially in the postseason, affect how you view the line?
Well, it's not only Derrick Henry. If you look inside the metrics with the offensive line, Jack Conklin, Taylor, Luan, that whole offensive line, those are the two best run blockers in the entire playoffs. Every single O lineman is playing at above average level. Chris Jones, the defensive end for the Chiefs, is questionable with the calf, and Frank Clark saying Derrick Henry is not that great. He's just a big body. I don't think that's what you want to say to Derrick Henry. He just averaged 6.5 yards a carry against 8-man stacked boxes versus Baltimore. And when they were down by 10 against Kansas City earlier, I think down 9 in the fourth quarter, they ran Derrick Henry. They're not going to get away from the run, even if they get down. I think if it's 3 scores, yeah, they will get away. But if it's only 2 scores, they are going to keep pounding it. They ran it 37 times last week, and I think that keeps them in the game. KC's rush defense, 29th by DVOA.
Yeah, I think it's a good point about the Titans remaining true to themselves earlier in the season. As you mentioned, it's kind of a game that's forgotten. The Titans actually beat the Chiefs earlier this season. Do you think you can take away things from that game, or is today a totally different matchup?
You know, a lot of fluky things happened in that game to benefit Tennessee. You know, the blocked field goal, I think it was a fumble return for a touchdown. A lot of crazy things. And Mahomes, we all know, wasn't healthy. He was missing open receivers. He still threw for like 440. So I just think from a confidence level, the Titans know they can beat this team. Andy Reid is 1-8 all time against the Titans. He's 1-5 in conference championship games. I just think there's a lot of reasons this team looks like the team of destiny. I don't expect them to win, but yeah, I think they can keep it close.
I did not know that Andy Reid is 1-8 all time against the Titans.
Yeah, and I think it's 0-3 with the Chiefs and 1-5 with the Eagles, which doesn't really make sense because Andy Reid's teams have always been very good.
Yeah, and remember a couple of years ago, though, in the playoffs, Marcus Mariota and the Titans did end up going to Arrowhead Stadium and winning that game in the wild card round as Larry Hartstein joins us here on the show. So, okay, Chiefs are favored by 7. Where do you lean on this?
I'm going to take the points. I was hoping to get 7.5, but I'll still take 7. I think it's probably going to be like 31-27 Chiefs. I think it's going to be just a great football game. I can't wait.
Packers and Niners, the late game, 6:40 p.m. Eastern time on Fox is your kickoff. Now, again, let's look at the opening line versus where it is right now. Where did the money come in on this year, or this week, rather, on the NFC Championship game?
Well, the pros are pounding the 49ers, and even though people would say, oh, wow, getting 7, 7.5 with Aaron Rodgers against the inexperienced Jimmy G, and the public kind of likes that, the pros have just been pounding the 49ers. It's up to 8 at certain books. It's just a case where they're just better in every metric you can imagine. The only thing the Packers do have the edge is the red zone efficiency. They have been better than the 49ers, but they've been outgained on a yards per play basis for the whole season. I mean, this is a team very fortunate to be 14-3.
With the Packers, as you said, I think a lot of people think that maybe 14-3 is not indicative of the type of team that they are, that they're not as good as their record to indicate. Do you factor that into how you handicap today's game?
Yeah, and plus the fact they were coming off a bye the last time they went to San Francisco, so they should have been ready to go, and we all saw what happened, 37-8 They've been to the West Coast twice this year. They got embarrassed both times. That game against the Chargers was also hard to fathom how badly they played. And, yeah, Davante Adams was not healthy in the first meeting against the Niners. He's totally healthy now, but that's not enough to beat a 49ers defense, I think, or to even stay within double digits. When you look at Tart, Quan Alexander, Dee Ford, all these guys back at every level of the defense allowed 7 first downs to an offense last week that I think is comparable to Green Bay's and maybe even a little better in the Vikings.
So it sounds like you're laying the 8 with the Niners.
Yeah, I got it at 7.5, but yeah, I think it's something like 27-17, maybe 30-17. Not the same kind of blowout. I think the Packers, with Davante Adams healthy, I think he's going to get a ton. I like him over 83.5 receiving yards. I think they'll be behind. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball. Look what the 49ers, just how they shut down Dalvin Cook. So I think, Davante Adams is going to get his, but I think the Niners are going to get theirs and win by double digits.
Larry Hartstein has been fantastic this year picking NFL games, 56-38 against the spread for Sportsline. Check him out there, NFL analyst Larry Hartstein on Sportsline. Go to sportsline.com for the latest information on today's championship games. Larry, it's been a really fun season. Catch up with you, man. Thanks so much for doing it again with us today.
Enjoyed it.
Okay, Larry Hartstein joining us this morning here on the show. Here are the lines with the 4 different potential matchups. If the Niners win at home and the Chiefs win at home, and both those teams are the heavy favorites, right now Vegas is saying that the Chiefs would be a 2-point favorite in a Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl. If the Packers ended up going on the road today and winning and the Chiefs won at home, that would set up a rematch of Super Bowl I in the NFL's 100th season. Pretty interesting. The Packers and Chiefs, a potential Super Bowl. The Chiefs would be a 5.5-point favorite. If the Titans pull the upset today and the Niners win at home, a Niners-Titans Garoppolo-Tannehill Super Bowl, and we all saw that coming before the season, of course, the Niners would be a 4.5-point favorite over the Titans. And if both road teams win today, a Packers-Titans Super Bowl, it would be a Packers favorite. The Packers would be favored by 1.5 points. That's according to Vegas right now. That, of course, being without how the games unfold today, who knows? Injuries, how the game unfolds, how these teams win, clearly would affect how those lines would open up on tomorrow, going into 2 weeks of then Super Bowl lead up. When we come back here on the show, Drew Pearson was very visibly angry and upset that he was left out this week of the Pro Football Hall of Fame election. There was a special class done this year in the 100th anniversary of the NFL. He's the lone member of the starting team for the all-1970s, all-decade team, not to be in the Hall of Fame. It was captured on camera. He was very angry. I asked another guy that's been disappointed by being a finalist not getting in what he thought of the reaction. We'll hear that coming up here next. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, D.A. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more in car insurance. Welcome back, DA Damon Amendolara with you here on CBS Sports Radio for Sunday Morning Football. Only 2 more episodes after today. Next Sunday, the week leading up to the championship, the Super Bowl, and then Super Bowl Sunday are the last 2 episodes of the year. So catch us on Sunday mornings beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, all across the CBS Sports Radio Network and on SiriusXM Channel 206, or stream us using your phone. Use the radio.com app, Apple Music, the CBS Sports app, or you can watch us at watchda.com. Today's 2 championship games, the AFC Championship game, is going to be on CBS. That'll be the Nance Romo call. And then the late game of the NFC Championship game from Levi Stadium in Santa Clara is going to be the Buck and Aikman game. Everybody loves the Fox broadcast when it comes to Buck and Aikman. They become two of the best as a tandem because they've done it for so long. And a lot of people love the Romo Nance booth as well. So we've got two good booths today for your game calls of Championship Sunday. Drew Pearson this past week was watching on live TV as the centennial class was announced of the Hall of Fame. Now, last weekend, we saw Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson both get inducted, or at least get chosen and announced as part of this class, and that happened on national TV. Well, during the week, the class was also announced. They rounded out another couple of inductees, which included guys like Harold Carmichael, one of the best wide receivers of the 70s for the Philadelphia Eagles, among some others, George Young, the architect of the 1980s Super Bowl teams of the New York Giants, some players also dating back to the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Drew Pearson was not one of those guys. He was hoping to get in. Drew Pearson was a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys in their Super Bowl runs of the 1970s. He was a first-team All-Decade member of the 1970s. He's now the only member of the 1970s All-Decade team not to be in the Hall of Fame. And there was one of his family members filming his reaction to it this week, in which he is obviously very visibly upset, really angry at it, and you can watch it in real time. So Tony Boselli is also a finalist for the Football Hall of Fame again this year. He's been a finalist the last 3 years and has not gotten in. And I asked Tony Boselli, one of the best offensive linemen of his generation, what he felt as he watched Drew Pearson lash out. And I wondered if maybe Boselli has felt the same way.
I think it was an honest reaction, and I was fine with it. I'm disappointed whoever videoed it and put it out. Because that's, you know, maybe unless he did it and he was okay with it. I wouldn't want that, because I will say in the 3 years I've been a finalist leading up this year, when I did not get in, there was emotion and there was probably some anger, but it was with just my family, those people closest to me that, you know, you say things, you share things that out of frustration and disappointment and everything else. And that's okay. That's like that. You know what that tells us? It's how important it is. It's important to Drew Pearson. He was a great player. And when you're a player of his caliber, you want to be, you feel like you're being snubbed and not being recognized for what you did and what you poured your life into. And while no one wants, the Hall of Fame isn't trying to do that. It's the process is the process. I don't know if there's any perfect way to go through these things and to tell people who's in and who's out. And so it's a natural, I think it's a natural reaction, and I was fine with it. And I understand that feeling. And hopefully Drew Pearson gets in. I mean, he's an all-decade player of the 70s. He's the only player left from that all-decade team that's not in. And hopefully that, you know, next year or the coming years, he'll be one of the senior players that makes it into the Hall of Fame.
Jimbo Covert, offensive lineman, Chicago Bears, the 1980s. He was part of the centennial class. Winston Hill was the offensive lineman for Joe Namath when Namath was with the Jets in the 60s and 70s, he got in. Harold Carmichael, as I mentioned, longtime Eagles wide receiver, holds basically all of the Eagles receiving records. Defensive end and linebacker for the Chicago Bears, Monsters of the Midways back in the 40s and 50s, Ed Sprinkle was in. Steve Sable, his dad Ed Sable, founded NFL Films. Ed Sable already in. Steve Sable, the late Steve Sable, now got inducted as well. Alex Karras, sometimes better known for his role as Webster's dad, and in Blazing Saddles as well, but Alex Karras was a very good defensive lineman for the Detroit Lions. He got in. Bobby Dillon, a safety for the Green Bay Packers back in the 50s. And Donnie Shell, another member of the Steel Curtain of the 70s for the Pittsburgh Steelers, four-time Super Bowl champion at safety. Shell got in. George Young, the architect of the Giants in the 80s. Cliff Harris, bad boy, tough hitter, Dallas Cowboys safety back in the 70s. Max Speedy, an end for the Cleveland Browns in the 40s and 50s, and former commissioner Paul Tagliabue. That's your centennial class. Solomon Wilcott, longtime NFL analyst. He's now with Pro Football Focus. I asked Solomon if the criticism of Andy Reid being overly conservative as a play caller in big games was fair.
Well, I think it's totally unfair. I tell you, man, winning that thing is so very hard. It's so very difficult. Just putting together an organization and a franchise that can compete every single year is nearly impossible. But he's done that everywhere he's gone. Before he went to the Eagles, you and I both know that was a dysfunctional franchise. He brought to that franchise the stability for Jeffrey Lurie, an organizational sort of mindset that now has put them near the top of one of the best franchises in the National Football League. He's done the same thing for Clark Hunt in Kansas City. And he took an average quarterback in Alex Smith and made him a very good quarterback. And now he's got a kid who I think is on the edge of greatness, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns in his first year as a starter, and now the potential to go to a Super Bowl in his second year as a starter in Patrick Mahomes. That's what Andy Reid does. He develops players at the right position. He builds organizations, and then he allows you to compete year in and year out for this Super Bowl title that we're talking about.
Today is the day. It has to be the day for Andy Reid as a touchdown favorite at home against the last team of the AFC playoffs, coming off a 51-point outburst last week. He has to win. There's so much pressure on Andy Reid, and I mentioned this on my show earlier in the week. When Bill Cowher got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I took a look at both of his resume and Andy Reid's resume and realized there is no difference except for that Andy Reid has a better resume. That's the difference. It comes down to Bill Cowher won a Super Bowl. Andy Reid has not. Bill Cowher won a Super Bowl and lost a Super Bowl. And Andy Reid only has the one appearance that he lost to the New England Patriots in 2004. But Andy Reid has more regular season wins, 60 of them. He's coached 21 seasons versus Cowher's 15. He has more double-digit win seasons, more playoff appearances, more division titles. He has everything that Cowher has. He has more playoff wins. He has everything Cowher has except the Vince Lombardi. And Andy Reid just needs that. It's the only thing missing on his resume before he gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he's been known as a punchline because of his championship game losses. Well, you know what? Bill Cowher had four championship game losses at home. He lost four AFC championship games at home. So he's got the same type of heartbreak that Andy Reid does, but he has that Super Bowl win. Reid's got to get it, and it starts today. Reid's going to have to beat the Titans as a touchdown favorite at home, because if he loses this one today, I mean, when can you ever then feel comfortable with Reid in a championship game like this? And finally, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. I asked him about Cam Newton's offseason and if he believes that Cam Newton will be back with the Carolina Panthers.
If Cam Newton is in his prime and healthy and without a contract situation hanging over his head, he could fit in any offense. My understanding is that the Panthers will look to trade Cam Newton when he is healthy. We don't know for sure when he's going to be healthy. He had surgery with hopes of being healthy in March, so that is the goal. So I would expect him to be healthy in March, right around there, and for them to seek a trade with him regardless. Because remember, you know, if Cam Newton is on the Panthers next year, he's not going to want to go out there with no guaranteed money in a greatly undervalued deal. Because Cam Newton, when he's healthy, is worth a lot more than the $18 million he's going to be paid, right?
Yep.
So he would want a new contract. Have a hard time imagining the Panthers with a completely new regime would re-up. So to me, all signs point to him being traded regardless of the offensive scheme. And I think the Panthers will start new probably as they should.
All of those audio clips from the DA show weekday mornings right here on CBS Sports Radio, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern time, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern time here on the network. Interesting, if you're a Panthers fan and you want to see Cam Newton back, here is one of the insiders in the NFL saying, I don't see it. They're going to trade him as soon as he's healthy because that's when the new league year starts in March. And if he's healthy then, and there are teams looking for a quarterback, like, say, the Chicago Bears, that the Panthers are looking for a reboot. And I could absolutely see that happening as well. There's a lot of mileage on his body, and Cam took a lot of hits as a scrambling quarterback over the years. And at 30 years old, if they've got a new head coach and they're looking to turn the page with their new owner,
trading Cam Newton is absolutely on the table for the Carolina Panthers. Let's get to your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch.
It's DA's football forecast.
Oh, it's going to be cold today in the mighty Midwest in Kansas City. Temperatures in the teens all day. Whew. It's going to be clear and sunny, one of those really beautiful, crisp, freezing cold Midwestern days where the wind comes in off the plains, but there's not a cloud in the sky, and it's going to be cold. And to me, today there's a 99% chance that Derrick Henry has a run or a hit that hurts through the TV. It's just going to be cold and frosty and freezing, and you're going to see these guys' breath, and somebody's going to try to line up in front of Derrick Henry and hit him, and he's going to lower the boom, and you are just going to shudder. We're all going to do this through the TV. Ooh! In the late game in San Francisco, sunshine in January in the Bay Area, not quite. Temperatures a pleasant mid-50s today, but cloudy skies and an 85% chance that Kyle Shanahan has a game-changing play call. I love the way that Shanahan has called plays all season long. I mean, he was the one guy that made Matt Ryan into an MVP and that Atlanta Falcons offense into a Super Bowl offense. Should have closed the door on the championship as well over the Patriots when they had a 28-3 third-quarter lead. But Shanahan has proven to be one of the most elite play callers in the NFL. He's creative. He uses multiple formations. He uses a lot of unique looks. He's not afraid to mix it up and try new things. And today, with a spot in the Super Bowl on the line, you know we're going to see something really creative out of Kyle Shanahan. So that's your two football forecasts for today's game. I had mentioned, I can't remember the last time that an NFL postseason was defined by one running back. That one running back basically muscled his team to a Super Bowl, kind of like we're seeing Derrick Henry do now. And this is why I throw these things out to you guys, because you guys are awesome football fans and fans of the history of the game. Robert tweets in, DA, how about John Riggins? And I love that comparison. John Riggins for Washington in 1982. Here were his four playoff appearances, because they played in the wild card round as well that week, or that season. 119 yards on 25 carries in the wild card round over the Lions. Divisional round, 37 carries for 185. That sound familiar? 37 for 185 over the Vikings in the divisional round. In the NFC Championship game at RFK, 36 carries, 140, and two touchdowns. And then in the Super Bowl against the Dolphins, 38 carries for 166, and the breakaway touchdown on fourth and one that sealed the game for Washington in the fourth quarter. That's the perfect comparison. Well done, Robert. Love it. 82, John Riggins. 119, 185, 140, 166. The guy was 33 years old. Here's his carry totals. 25, 37, 36, 38 en route to a Super Bowl championship and an MVP. The perfect comp for what Derrick Henry is doing with the Tennessee Titans. Well done. So we've got our game set up. We'll have our Super Bowl matchup set up after today's action. Thanks to Ryan Hickey, executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Great job. Thanks to Anthony Pierno, AP, on the Wheels of Steel, our technical director today. Thanks to Justin Shackle on your headlines and the Wizard of WatchDA.com and your simulcast, Andrew Kaplan. Enjoy football, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Eastern time. This is DA on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.